like had just touched.
Okay.
I mean, like we're it, like in the flare still.
For sure.
Right. So mains of Dutch, I mean, I have never hit the rudder so hard in my life. Like, I mean, we were, and maybe not right, cause you're in the moment, but I would say less than 5 feet from chopping up a coyote on the rudder. Yeah. But, chopping up a coyote. But, you know, I stomp on the rudder and, you know, we get to the right, just miss it. And we're going, I'm just like, Tower, just want to let you know there's a dog or something on the runway. And he's like, oh yeah, center of the runway or so, midfield. I was like, yep, that's it. He goes, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's
fine. That was so much fun. I mean, obviously, Thomas and I are good friends, but it was really, really cool to talk about everything he did in that much detail.
Yeah, it was really cool because Thomas, the majority of the time I've known him, was as a training advisor. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a training advisor when I got brought onto the program.
Right.
So the only downside about this episode is I didn't get analytical on anything, but you know, it's okay. Let's go ahead and bring Thomas on. Thomas, welcome.
Hey, thanks, man. Good to be here.
You excited? Nervous?
No. I mean, yeah, been around the block, so.
Have you done a podcast before?
No, we had a podcast we were going to do back in the day.
Go with what you feel.
With Blue Line?
Never got it.
No, ourselves.
Oh.
I think it was
really? YouTube?
I think it was like 2020. Like, you know, everybody was kind of wondering what they're going to do with their lives. And so we kind of just thought about.
That's when everybody really started getting into podcasts too. So yeah, I was really excited.
Because it was after you moved to Texas. Mm-hmm. And we would talk on the phone like after work every day pretty much, just, you know. Because we used to work in the same office, and then she just bails.
Don't do that again.
Yeah.
It was sad. We were together all the time in the same office, and then we weren't. So we had to call every day.
Yeah. So it was just like, you know, talk about work and whatever. And I don't know. I think we thought we were entertaining. So we're like, let's be like everybody else. And
I mean, start we are.
Yeah, yeah.
We just never.
We are. We just don't publicize it.
So, Thomas, you graduated from the career pilot program and you're now an instructor. Mm-hmm. But why don't you take us down memory lane? Yeah. Why don't you tell us how you got to North Carolina from Ohio and how you got to Blue Line? And then, because I already know, why don't you tell us your story of your Blue Line history?
Yeah. I graduated the program in October, beginning of October last year. So I've been instructing here since the end of October.
So let's talk about that then. So let's break it down about how you got to where you're at now.
Yeah.
Right. So you were doing the newspaper thing.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine why you left. So
Something in me thought that newspapers weren't going to last in their current state. And it was an interesting journey. Like I never knew anything about airplanes. Aviation. There's a big aviation school at Bowling Green where I went to school, where I grew up, you know, lived for 27 years of my life. But like I would drive by that airport every day from the time I was like, I remember going by the airport when I was a kid, like 3 years old, going to daycare, like literally.
Wow. You remember going to daycare?
Yeah. I remember it was on Poe Road. Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. It's weird. but I remember going there. You know, whatnot, and passing the airport because they have this big old like Warbird airplane that sits in front of the building at the flight at the airport, right in front of their FBO, and it's right on the road that you drove down. And I always thought that was cool, right? But that was literally all I knew about airplanes. Didn't know a thing. So the newspaper thing was starting to run dry on me. I was kind of getting burnt out and needed a change. My stepbrother has lived down here in North Carolina since 2000.
This is a serious
something
guy.
Like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's lived down here for 20 plus years. You know, so we'd come down every year and visit every summer, go on vacation for a week, whatever. So I was familiar with the area and stuff. He'd been bugging me, just kind of halfway jokingly, but halfway not, about moving down here and stuff like that. And, finally, I just had enough of the newspaper. It was just so burnt out. I mean, I didn't make any money. The hours were 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, basically, right? Because that's just the world of news. And so I just kind of got tired of that and was ready for a change. And so I remember it was Thanksgiving of 2018. So yeah, November of 2018. We got lunch in Bowling Green. And I told him, I was like, hey, I'm ready. I'm ready to move. Looking for just kind of a fresh start. Didn't really have any idea of where I wanted to go career-wise. I knew marketing was probably a good idea for me because I have a degree in journalism. Right? I have a minor in business and marketing. Mm-hmm. So, I was pretty comfortable in that world and things like that. And so whatever, I was just here's my resume. my brother owns a business in the area in Raleigh. So like he knows a lot of people and stuff like that. And he's like, all right, I'll send it to this guy. You know, this is the kind of company he runs. You know, you could probably do something with them. I was like, cool, that sounds good. And he's like, I've got this buddy who owns a flight school. I was like, oh, that sounds interesting, at least.
Oh, right? I didn't know your stepbrother was connected to Trey.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so they knew each other, right? So Jay, my stepbrother, started flying years ago, right? Started training, never got done, found Blue Line, just kind of haphazardly, and finished up his private here back in probably got his private around like 2017, 2018, mm-hmm. something like that. And then ends up doing his instrument here as well. And he was doing his instrument as I was basically getting hired back in 2019. But so yeah, he's like, I've got this buddy, owns this flight school. You know, they're looking to grow as a company, looking for somebody like potentially to do like some social stuff and some marketing stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, that sounds really cool. Like at least it sounds interesting. Mm-hmm. Right? Again, I didn't know anything about airplanes, aviation, anything like that. Basically I send my resume to my brother. I'm like, here it is. Like, do your thing, right? And I was like, I'm not moving until I have a job lined mm-hmm. up, right? Because I'm not crazy. like I was excited about the possibility of moving. You know, I was comfortable with this area. I'd been here plenty of times before and stuff like that. And got family here. My dad was in Southern Virginia at the time. He might have moved here. I don't remember. He might have been in the Raleigh area by then. So it was going to be good, right? I mean, I knew people, things like that. It was going to be
family,
a cool,
you had support.
Yeah, and that makes that all the easier,
right?
Obviously, when you know people and you know you don't have to just get thrown into everything brand new at once,
right?
So I was like, cool, that sounds good. Literally, I would say within like a week, I have an email from probably Cindy here, you know, about an interview. Next thing you know, I'm interviewing. Fast forward to like probably 3 weeks later, like, signed, sealed, delivered, like done deal. Never met anybody here. Never even visited the place. Job offer. I'm like, okay, well, this is like kind of real now. So I like called Trey. I was like, hey, can I like come down and see the place first? Because, you know, not that I don't trust you or anything like that. But
I just
like,
don't trust you.
Yeah, I mean, like I've never heard of you.
Is the building you
right?
exist?
Yeah, like. Right. And this wasn't here, right? I mean, we were the little PBTC office by RDU at the time. And I'd seen pictures and, you know, I remember on my interview, like, I had done some research, right? Because I think, you know, when you interview for a job, you should research the company mm-hmm. that you're going to get. So I'm like Googling around. I'm looking at the website and I'm like, oh boy, this website's terrible. I'm like interviewing for a marketing job. I'm like, okay, well, we can redo this. And so I remember talking about that on my interview. I was like, well, I think we should start with a website because it's terrible. And if we want to grow into mm-hmm. like a legitimate company, like we should, you know, think about that first to provide some legitimacy.
The URL was learntoflynorthcarolina.com.
So at the time.
There's still, if you type that in, it still
I think
works.
We still own that still one. Domain, probably. Yeah. There, I swear on my life, there are 20 domains.
There is, yeah. Learn to fly Clayton, Joco, Jana. Yeah, like all of them are owned by us and all redirect. But yeah. Our main website was BlueLineAviationLLC.com.
It was LLC.com. Yeah. And that was when I knew, right? I typed in the website and I'm like,
And that was when I knew.
Right? We could make some positive change here. So anyway, like I come down, I visit, I meet with our business development officer at the time, meet Trey, meet the whole team. I remember this is the first time I met Ashley. I met everybody that's here, right? Got a feel for like kind of what the school is like, what it's all about. And I was like, cool, like done. And, you know, by the end of the day, we had a start date lined up and everything. I remember calling my boss at the newspaper and being like,
bye.
I'm leaving.
I'm moving.
Yeah. And they knew, right? I was making this trip because I never took time off.
Right.
And so, like, I was like, hey, I need like 3 days off to go down to North Carolina. And they're like, why? I was like, well, I've been thinking about, you know, maybe moving on. Right. And so, like, I call them and I'm like, I'm starting in 2 weeks. I'm sorry. You know, I think like everybody here was gung ho, ready to roll. You know, as far as like movement and starting this path to growth. And, you know, it was quicker than what I had anticipated. I was thinking like maybe a month or two, but they were like, can we do like 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. All right, let's do 2 weeks, right? I'll figure out my life and get everything packed up and stuff. So anyway, yeah. So make the move down here in February. You know, I left Bowling Green on February 14th, stayed the night in Columbus with some friends and was down here the 15th, started here on the 18th.
So Thomas's first day. He already knows what I'm going to say. Thomas's first day, this was my first interaction with somebody who is now my best friend, but we're sitting in the break room at the PPTC. And I specifically remember, you know me, I'm like, hey, you know, how's your first day going? He's sitting across another table. He's like, good. I'm like, oh, nice. I'm like, cool. So what do you like to do in your free time? And he goes, I don't have free time. Like, just I'm not making this up pan. Verbatim. And like, no, like, what about you? No, you know.
Just didn't reciprocate
the conversation. I didn't know how to make friends.
Yeah.
You know, I lived in the same place for 27 years. I knew the same people my entire life.
And I was like, okay. And
he's like, why are you smiling this much?
Why are you so happy
all the time? Right?
It was just funny. That was our first like interaction together.
Yeah. That's funny. I remember having a conversation with you, like maybe right after you passed your written or something like that. Again, this was before like we were like good friends by any means. Probably still barely knew each other at the time. And I don't know. It's just funny like thinking back on those like just random interactions and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, 'cause that was 4 years ago, which is pretty wild.
So wait, when did you enter marketing?
Yeah, so I came here, right? It was February 18th of 2019. I came here to do marketing.
Okay.
So I was the marketing specialist was the position at the time. So basically I was just doing like social. I was like getting our social channels built at that time. They had done like a few like really poor YouTube videos, like just what you do with an iPhone 6.
Yeah. Right. Right.
You know,
and also we have to give the founders credit, right?
No, it wasn't that.
But like, that's not, and that's how every business gets started. People, you know, they don't have, you know, videographers yet. Yeah. They have themselves and they have what they know. And the website looked good for what it was, you know, but just like you said, we couldn't have gotten to where we are without growing that and changing it and making it more modern.
Exactly. And that was the big thing, right? I mean, Trey got on this kick, but like the vision was always modern equipment, modern technology, right? For modern pilots. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, we can't have a website that looks like this and talk about this.
Right.
Like we can't, right? So I came in, really started again, building the social, tried to get us rolling like on Twitter a little bit at least, like just to have more presence, right? Because the only place that we had any presence was check ride pass photos on Instagram. Mm-hmm. That was it. And Facebook, right?
Right.
I mean, Facebook was huge, you know, because Facebook was probably a lot more popular amongst people still then, frankly. Right. And we were starting to get into the world of like, just trying to get more into interactive on YouTube and just any other social platform. So I came in, was taking what would you say, amateur photos. Terrible photographer. I took like a half a photography class, right? Like the fact that I have this job or had that job, like, I mean, I was the most incompetent person for this job ever.
I don't agree.
But anyway, right. So we're building the social, just trying to build the brand basically, right? Because at that time we're like, I walk in the building there, I'm employee like number 24, like including instructors, admin staff, like everything, right? There's 5 people on the career pilot program at the time, right? And granted, like it's a complete 180 back then, where we were more focused on the part-time, the renters and stuff like that. Trey knew that he was ready to like flip that by the end of 2019. So like that was kind of the goal, is to like at the beginning of 2019, try to kind of shift the paradigm and get it to the opposite, right? Where we're more focused on the career side of things. So we get there, the first big project is revamping the website after we, you know, get like a decent, you know, footprint, I guess, in social media. And we get just have steady content all the time, right? Just very basic stuff. You know, I'd go out to the flight line at RDU and just random videos, like just 5-second clips, just to be interactive with everybody and stuff like that. So that was it. And then like I said, the project was a month long project. You know, that, you know,
'cause you worked with a third party, right?
Yeah. So we hired this outside company out of Durham. And I thought they did a great job.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and the website looks really good and everything that, well, I would say probably 80% of what you see on that website right now, as far as the contents of the website, you know, was kind of done by them.
They did the bones of it. Now when we edit stuff, we're still using those.
Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like a plug and play type of thing. Now, right.
Yeah.
Where they built the backbone of it, like you said, and then you just got to insert a picture here, insert, you know, text here, whatever. So that was like a good, I would say, 6-8 month project that took, you know, as far as just stripping everything down, what direction we want to go with the brand, because we redid the logos, just everything, like total overhaul of everything to do with marketing at Blue Line. And then, like, I think we reached a point where I was just, I was at my capacity, I was at my limit, and I recognized that. Like, my skills are very limited in that world. You know, and the where Trey wanted to continue to go in the marketing side, I knew I didn't have the skill to do that. So I just went to him and said, like, hey, you know, I don't think I can do what you want me to do anymore. I think I would be better fit in sales, right? Because when I was doing marketing, like, I still had the opportunity to interact with students all the time, things like that, whether I was doing videos with them, taking pictures with them. I would do a tour here and there, you know, once I got to a point where I, like, learned about all this stuff and was comfortable talking about the program. And, you know, I could tell you the basic idea of what's inside the airplane, right?
Yeah.
So then moved into sales, like, after a year, and then stayed there for 2 years. And
so you became a training advisor after...
Yeah.
You left marketing.
Yeah. So marketing straight into training advisor. Because I think when I was doing the tours, like, you know, I'm just a people person.
What?
I thought you were staring at me.
Oh, no.
So I like people, right? I like being able to build relationships with people. That was my favorite part of my job at the newspaper, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that is your job as a journalist, is to build relationships and maintain relationships and then tell a story, right? So I loved that aspect of it and that idea of it. And that's what got me into, like, the training advising stuff. And so, yeah, like I said, we did that for 2 years. Really enjoyed that. And then made the switch. And anyway, here we are.
So then you decided...
So this is what, like, okay, so you were training advisor for how long? For about 2 years? 2 years.
Yeah, about 2 years. So I think it was, like, April of 20 when I went into the training advising role. And then did that until April of, no.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah. It was beginning of April of 22.
But when, between, in those 2 years, when were you starting to have the thoughts, like, I think I want to do this with, I want to go through the program?
Yeah, so it's still, like, never had crossed my mind, right? Even through the time in marketing, so right?
It still hasn't crossed his mind.
No,
still,
like, we're just here.
It's like, oh,
like, how did we end up here? Yeah, like, they just, anyway. Yeah, like, I mean, the hardest part about, like, this job and transitioning was learning the language, right? Mm-hmm. I remember vividly sitting in my old boss's office talking about the difference between Part 61 and Part 141. And, like, just couldn't wrap my mind around it. I'm like, this is, like, my second week on the job, right? Like, no freaking clue. And I still don't know what an airplane is, let alone Part 61 versus 141. Right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, there's no way. Like, again, I was never even thinking about it. My whole thing was, like, how do people do this? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you ever have the capacity in your brain to be able to do this type of stuff and remember all this type of stuff? Now you got to go fly an airplane and not kill somebody or kill yourself? Like, that's insane to me, right? So it was probably, like, still had never crossed my mind. You know, like I said, my stepbrother has his private and his instrument. So I would say, like, probably sometime early in the training advising role, I remember people would ask, you think you'll ever fly? I was like, yeah, I'll probably get, like, my private or something like that, right? Because why not, right? I mean, my brother has a plane. You know, all my friends here fly, right? I'm like, I can't be the only one who doesn't.
Peer so I was pressure.
Like, exactly. Like, I'm totally susceptible to peer pressure. External pressures, it's a real thing. That's my problem. Yeah, I was like, then the more I thought about it, I'm like, man, like, this is just a really expensive hobby, right? I mean, I'm like, all right, I'm never going to get my license unless, like, I can utilize it, right? So either I make a boatload of money and I can make this a fun hobby, or, you know, still it hadn't crossed my mind to be like, all right, let's make a career change. Mm-hmm. But I can always remember, I'd probably been in it for a good year at that point as far as, like, training advisor. And, like, I got to a point where, like, I really knew this stuff. Like, because I would sit down on, during marketing, especially, I'd sit down on ground lessons, tape and stuff. And when you're editing, you know, you still, like, you pick up on things, right? And just every conversation you have is, like, about this stuff. So like naturally when you're in that type of environment, when you're just surrounded by it all the time, you pick things up and you start to learn about it. And
yeah, you start to see like the patterns and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And like it just how everything works. And then you like, you picked up on this like last week and then I heard this next week. And I'm like, oh, like those two mm-hmm. things come together. Like I understand it. I remember like people would talk about LNAV and LPVs and localizers. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Right. And then 2 weeks later, I hear people talking about it again. I'm like, oh, those are all instrument approaches, mm-hmm. right? I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, okay. Like, that makes sense. I don't know anything about them, but I know that they're instrument approaches, right? So, like, again, just being in the environment and hearing things over and over again, you're like, whatever. So I got to a point, like, when I'm in the training advisor role, and I have a pretty good grasp on, like, actually things around here, right? Mm-hmm. Not just, like, what the program is, how to do it, you know, and how to be successful. Like I knew about the airplane. I could sit on the phone for 20 minutes and tell you everything about the airplane, right? I could tell you everything about the program, what this means, what you can do with this, this, that, and the other. And I remember a few times, like, this just sounds like kind of cocky and I don't like intend it to be, but like, I remember people would be like, wait a minute, you don't have any licenses? I was like, no, like I can talk about this stuff, right? I can't, mm-hmm. I could never get in the air and, you know, do it for you, but I can talk about it. They're like, that just really surprised me because you know so much about it. And they're like, why don't you do this? And I was like, yeah, you know, like, I don't know, flying's not for me.
It's almost like it's a bridge too far.
Did you view it as a bridge too far? Andy says that on every podcast.
Oh, okay.
But you wouldn't know because you don't listen.
Yeah, yeah.
Way to call him out. That's hilarious.
I don't have free time.
So at what point did it really click with you that you're like, man, I think I'm going to do this. I think I'm going to do the career pilot program.
Yeah, I think so. My problem in life is that I get bored. Mm. Right? I get bored of what I'm doing. I got bored of the newspaper. I'm like, all right, let's change it up. We move here. I'm doing marketing. I didn't.
If you say you get bored working for me, this podcast is over. I know what you mean. I'm just kidding.
You know, the marketing thing. I don't want to say I necessarily got bored with the marketing. I somewhat did. But also, like I said, like the biggest thing was we got to a point where I wasn't capable of doing what we wanted to do.
But here's the thing. I think every single person's capable of anything they want to do. And I also really admire about you that you recognized this. I'm going to be harming the company if I stay in this position, yeah. Because just like you, just listening to what you just said about how you learned everything you could about the planes and you could talk about it, that is what showed me this was the right move for you, because you had that interest level. You wanted to learn more. You never got tired of learning more about the planes and learning about it. But when it came to marketing, and that's completely fine, right? Like that's why everybody has different passions.
Right.
You were like, hey, if I stay in this role, it might actually be hindering the company because... Yeah. I'm not capable of learning more. And like, even if you got bored, like that's okay. Yeah. You know, like you were able to recognize that and then put yourself in a more valuable role, which then led to you following your dream.
Yeah. That was like the conversation I had was like, I think I could be more valuable for you and your company mm-hmm. and make you more money if I move into this role. And I think that proved to be true. Like, you know, far and away, you know? So yeah, we just got to a point. I don't want to say I got bored with the training advisor stuff, but like it got to a point where it was kind of mundane for me, right? I was having the same conversation with 20 different people every single day. Mm-hmm. And while it was still interesting to me because every person has a different story, the more people that said, well, why don't you do it? And I was like, finally, like one time somebody said, I was like, you know what? You're like, you're right. I don't know. Because I started thinking about more like, I'd like to fly, right? I've flown with my brother and stuff like that up to that point. I'd flown with friends here a couple of times and things like that. And I love to travel, right? I love to challenge myself and like see where I can push myself and everything like that. And, you know, I don't remember exactly when it was. I remember actually, you know what? It was about a year. It was probably around February of 21. I remember I went to Trey and said, hey, I'm having these thoughts and I'm that sounds bad.
I remember one thing I want to say. You know when people say I like to travel and you just want to roll your eyes because everybody says that to make themselves sound cool.
Yeah, I want to be cultural.
I want to make sure that everybody understands Thomas says that and actually means it. Thomas really does love to travel. I mean, I hate traveling. If I'm going to travel somewhere, I need to stay there for a week. Like the stress that getting somewhere causes me is not worth the trip. Yeah. Thomas could travel somewhere today and only stay there for an hour and come back and love it.
Yeah, because you just went to, what'd you, you were like in Nashville or something.
Yeah, I went to Knoxville.
For a concert.
Weekend. Yeah.
Just drove to Knoxville.
Drove to Knoxville, right? Yeah, 6 hours, was there for 12. Ugh.
And before he was an instructor and like super, I mean, he was busy as a training advisor, but obviously his schedule's way different now. He was traveling all the time. I mean, he would have a, he would fly somewhere every weekend. Yeah. So anyways, I remember that. And then the next thing I remember is, I don't know if it was February 2021, because I remember being here and you had told me like for a year. No, no. Like I was in Raleigh.
I got you.
And I remember working with you and you telling me like, I think I want to do this. Hmm. And
could have been, I don't remember.
I remember orchestrating that meeting. I said, Thomas wants to talk to you. And he thought you were going to quit. That's right. And I said, I hope not, because I hope he would just tell me. But and like, I remember pushing you for a whole year. Like, I forget what I said to you when it was time for you to get your medical. And like, I was like telling him I was going to like fire him if he wouldn't get his medical.
That was way after all this though.
Yeah. But anyways, that's just an example of it. But yeah, I think it was maybe like April or so, probably like a year, like you said.
I could look in my logbook, right? Because I did the Discovery flight like shortly after that meeting, because Trey was like, well, you can obviously do it for free. Mm-hmm. Right. And I was like, oh, that's, I appreciate that. Right. It's super generous.
The Discovery flight, not the program.
Yeah. I paid a lot of money for the program. Right.
Just want to clarify.
But I remember having that conversation like, hey, you know, I'm very grateful for what I'm doing right now. I don't not enjoy what I'm doing. But you know, I've been thinking a lot, this might be a path that I want to go down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just instantly like supportive. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't, there was no like, oh, well, like you're going to hurt my company if you leave and do it. It was like, yeah, I mean, we'll support you in every single way we can if that's what you want to do. Mm-hmm. I'm like, cool, let me, you know, I got to think about things and we got to figure out, you know, how we're going to pay for this and, you know, all those types of logistics and everything. So that was probably, I don't know, maybe a year before I started. So you might be, it might have been like April, because I needed, my plan was like work the rest of the year and, you know, be able to accrue the funds and, you know, set myself up and financially to be able to be support myself for, you know, a period of time during training, you know, everything like that. So, it wasn't until probably mid 2021 when I'd like definitively said, all right, we're going to do this. Probably like first quarter of 22. Didn't know exactly when yet.
Good timing, because the building had just opened.
It was. Yeah. So like we opened in November. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of allowed us to, you know, iron out the kinks of being in a new space, you know, before I really got rolling.
Got your own office and everything.
Oh my God. It was
and
the
then
best.
Left it.
And then left.
Yeah. I just did a ground lesson in it the other day. It was awesome.
Cause sales, when we were at RDU, for our followers to understand, sales used to be in what originally was a closet of the building.
Yeah. Like a room this size, legitimately.
Yeah.
Like, there was four of us. And then, five of us.
And so, it was cold. There was no insulation because it was legitimately a closet in the back of the building. Right. So in the winter,
no windows.
There was no wind. It was
some Harry Potter stuff.
It was really bad, but like, you know, you always have to start at the bottom and now we're here.
Now we're here.
So
right.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And then I moved back there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, at one time, I legitimately think there was five of us.
Yeah. It was, it was crowded.
It was tough.
It was tight.
You imagine having four people on the phone at the same time trying to have these types of conversations. It was disastrous. It felt like a call center. Right? Like, it was brutal.
Which is everything we stand against.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Well, I mean, what were you going
to
do?
Right. We had to start towards the end of our tenure at the PPTC in Raleigh. We had to start claiming rooms for our tours because we had many tours.
You know, messaging anybody and everybody. Hey, can I use your office? Can I use your office? Can I use your office? I have a tour coming in. Trey, gonna need your office for a tour.
Trey would have to get out of his. Right. Trey would have to get out of his office in order to give. I mean, it was that tight.
Yeah,
we would put signs on the door weeks in advance for a tour.
Yeah.
And you know, there's also it just got tough because there was also ground lessons going on. You know, it's like sometimes we'd have to meet in the closet.
Generally, yeah. Or we'd just do it all at RDU.
Yeah.
You know, which again wasn't ideal either. But you know. Yeah.
And then we got here.
That's what it is. And we got here.
And then you bailed on it. Better.
And then Thomas and then Thomas started a trend. So Thomas worked with Daniel and I. Daniel came on board, I think, in like May 2021. And so Thomas leaves and it's just me and Daniel for a little bit in the training advising team. And then Daniel comes and goes, hey, because Daniel already had his private pilot license and he's
and you just gave him the sales manager position.
He got promoted. Yeah. He got promoted to sales manager and he's like, I actually want to go through the program too. And so, I mean, and again, obviously I was supportive, right? Because, you know, that's the point of what we do.
Right?
Yeah. I mean,
we're here to help people.
That's what training advisors do. You know, we're not, I really don't like the term sales because that's not what we're doing. We're giving people the information and letting them choose the best school for them. It's nice that everybody finds their passion in doing it, but also stop leaving. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That was a really good point that I always tell people in marketing all the time about, like, people will, they will ask questions that are definitely best directed to a training advisor, and I will tell them to reach out to a training advisor.
Yeah.
But I preface in the message sometimes that I'm like, hey, it's not a salesy environment. Yeah. They're not going to try to sell you the program. They're just simply going to answer the questions. If you don't want to come here, we're fine.
I think that's the best thing, right? Yeah. Because you don't want to infiltrate a place with people that don't want to be here, want to be here.
Right.
That was my approach, was like, I'm not going to influence you one way or the other. I'm going to tell you the good, the bad, how we do things, right? And you make the decision, right? I'm not going to call you and be like, hey, you should definitely come here and not that school because we do things so much better than them, right? Do I think we do? Yeah, of course, right? But like, you have to make the decision because if you don't want to be here, this thing doesn't work.
Exactly. I think we talked about that on the first episode as well.
Yeah.
Just about how it's just like anybody. It's like Nike and Adidas. They don't make the same exact thing. You know, that's why there's different brands. Yeah. But, you know, obviously.
Copyright strike.
Strike. But seriously, you know, that's what we do. And we are able to just answer questions, provide information. Just like you said, you have to have the passion for it.
Right.
You have to be willing to be in an accelerated environment. Yeah. And
it's not for everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
It just isn't.
So I'm curious. Isn't. Did you finish all your writtens before you started the program?
No.
Oh, wow.
Wrong, a year to prep. Wrong answer, right? Yeah, I know. And that was the thing, right? I remember starting to study. This was before I'd like fully decided, because I was like, you know, you go through all this mental, like, is this the right move for me? This is a huge deal. Like, you know, I was in a great spot in my career, like doing well financially, like in a good place. Like, I love the people I work with. Like, I'm in a steady job. Like,
some on me, not you.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is a huge deal. And, you know, and like, I'm going to push myself to limits I didn't know existed. Right. And I'm like, can I do this? I'm freaking old, man. You know what I mean? Like, this is not an old person's game at all. So, you know, there was a lot. 32.
Okay. He's not old.
So, but you know, I haven't gone through school in 10 years, you know, whatever, right? I graduated college in 2014, right? So like, you're kind of out of that habit. I'm like, man, can I really do this? This is going back to those original thoughts when I first got here. How do people do this? Right? How do people learn all this information? So in my head, I was like, all right, I'll go take the private written. We'll see how that goes. And then like, that'll like kind of make the decision for me. So I started studying for the written and then I stopped. Right? I was like, yeah, whatever. We'll get around to it eventually. And then I'm like, all right, I'm going to do it. Right. And, you know, whatever. I went back on my word. I decided, all right, we're going to do this thing. So I started studying, you know, whatever. So I got four of them done, you know, private off the bat, instrument, FII, commercial. And then, so when I got here, I still needed to do FIA and FOI.
So, okay.
Yeah.
And so you had like a huge portion of them done.
Yeah. Definitely the hardest ones too. I mean, you know.
So you were like, I finished private. And like.
Yeah.
No, he got a big chunk out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and that was the thing, and I felt like a hypocrite, right? Because I always preached, get as much done as you can before you get here. Yeah, I had the time to like do all of them, of course, right? And in hindsight, I wish I would have, because the week that I spent studying for FIA and FOI was gruesome. Right. I mean, right before CFI class.
Because you're taking on all of it. You have to still fly. You have to still do ground lessons.
Yeah.
You still have to study for a check ride. And you now also have to study for a written test.
Yeah. And studying for a written is far different than studying for a check ride.
Right.
Like, as you know, for sure. Right. I mean, like.
So, yeah. Because, okay. So someone brought this up recently, because we had posted maybe it was Abdul's ad. Someone had commented and said Abdul must have finished all of his writtens before he went into the program to be able to finish it and stuff. So the question that was responded to that, we told them, like, no, yeah, all of our students typically take the majority of their writtens, if not all of them, before they enter.
Yeah.
And then someone else commented and said, how is that possible? How can you possibly take a written and not understand, like...
Yeah.
His example was, you can't take the instrument written and understand it without actually flying instrument.
Yeah, no, you
can't. What's your response to that?
You can, right? I mean, I had never flown an airplane before and I took the instrument written.
Yeah.
Right? So outside, you know, whatever, Discovery Flight type thing.
For
right?
sure.
You know, the services that are provided to study for these writtens, right? There's two ways to study for these writtens. You do something like King Schools, right? Which is a pretty good, like, interactive software, if you will, that their training videos are specifically tailored towards these writtens, right? Yeah. The types of questions you're going to get on these writtens and things like that.
It's not new. It's right. almost like it's just being like, oh, yeah, I studied
right.
that.
And that's the whole point, right? And that's what when we talk about, right? Get your writtens done ahead of time because, like, you're vaguely familiar with some of the information that you're going to really harp on when mm-hmm. you get here because your brain is so far less taxed at that point
right?
because you're somewhat familiar mm-hmm. with the terminology that's going on. It doesn't feel like brand new words that are being spoken to you. Now we have to learn, you know, what they mean and how to do them and mm-hmm. how to read the charts and things like that. We already know the first two, right? We know what they are and what their purpose is. Now we just got to learn how to read the charts and how to actually do the procedure, if you will.
How to apply the theories that you've learned.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I don't think I'll ever agree. Even the people that I worked with when I was doing training advising stuff, like I, you know, they're like, hey, you know what? This school is not for me. There's another school closer to home, whatever. Great. I still encourage you to go do your writtens mm-hmm. before you get there
yeah.
because it will help you out. Mm-hmm. When I hear people who come here that had their private beforehand and they're like, yeah, I didn't do my written until the day before my check ride. I'm like, what? Like, how? Like,
it is weird hearing how other people operate.
Yeah.
It seems so backwards and inefficient. So,
and like, I'm at a disadvantage in, maybe, right? But that Blue Line's the only stuff I know mm-hmm. in terms of aviation.
I'd say you're at an advantage.
Yeah. I mean, like,
What do you mean?
Well, just as far as the way that schools do things, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. You know, I know how we do stuff and why we do it the way that we do it. And, you know, so I don't have any experience or relatability to the way that other places do things. Once people explain it to me, you know, I can see the both sides, right? Mm-hmm. Both sides of everything. Do I think we're perfect? No. Like, nobody is, right? And that's not like saying that I don't think we're good. I think we're great, right? I think we're great at what we do and we have a really good product and we know how to train people to a very proficient standard and a safe standard. When people who come in with previous ratings, you know, from other schools and they do things, you know, this way versus that way, something I'm very passionate about is traffic pattern entries. Right? Mm-hmm. And so
you've been harping on this.
Yeah. Well, it's safety, right?
For and, sure. Like,
that's my thing. You know, I'm going to do everything I can to not put anybody else in danger. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people learn these habits of doing things a different way at other places that at the end of the day are dangerous, right? Mm-hmm. Or can be very dangerous if you're not very, very vigilant. And we operate out of an airport that isn't controlled, mm-hmm. right? And that is incredibly busy.
Mm-hmm. That's right? The thing too, right? Like these other schools where people get their licenses are, you know, I would say typically, most generally, mom and pop type schools where they're at airports and it's silent.
They're the only ones.
You know, so they don't, there's not a lot of thought that goes into, I mean, even when I was doing my training, coming to JNX was silent.
Yeah.
There'd maybe be one other Blue Line plane in the, in the pattern, but now it's, I mean, if there's not a plane in the pattern, something's wrong.
Well, so like, yeah, I'm out flying this morning and there's, you know, four of us holding short, three people in the pattern, like, and that's just us.
Yeah.
Right.
There's nobody else. And then you got somebody coming in shooting an instrument approach because mm-hmm. it's IFR this morning, mm-hmm. right? And then you got somebody else coming in, hey, I'm coming in from the north and I'm just going to enter on the downwind. I'm like, great. So, you know, I'm making sure my student is vigilant of that because, you know, if you just enter the pattern on the downwind, right, you're going to clip somebody from the crosswind, right?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So people who do things in a non-standard way, there's a reason there's a standard, right? And there's a reason that things are done a certain way. It's to keep people alive at the mm-hmm. end of the day. So I guess the point being, right, it's crazy to me when I see people who come from other places, just the way that they do things, mm-hmm. you know? And again, not that everything that they do is wrong, because like I'll hear things, I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, I like that, right? I want to implement that into, you know, the way I train my students and things like that. So it's not all bad. I don't mean it to sound like that. Because again, we don't do everything perfectly, right? And neither does that school, that school, and that school, right? So I think it's cool that, you know, and I think Trey agrees with this, right? Everybody can kind of collaborate and we mix these ideas together and we pick out the best versions of each to make the best product you can.
Yeah, it's kind of cool to see everybody go around with different things that they'll argue with. Like, and I can't, the only thing that comes to mind right now is left final because I've been bothering people.
I knew you were going to that,
yeah, but it's like, I've heard other people do it. I've heard other people come up with something that's like, that's so set in stone.
Yeah.
But then someone presents it up as like, well, wait a second, why is this set in stone?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you can see people downstairs starting to like, oh, like, and you can hear it spread, right? Like people are arguing about this one subject.
Debating, healthy debating.
Yeah, no, they're physically fighting.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes, right? In our lounge room downstairs.
Yeah, right. So it looks, it's like WWE, but Blue Line style. So, yeah. Just having great discussions about these things.
But that's how you learn.
For sure.
That's how you grow. Mm-hmm. You know, 100%. Like, I don't think you can become better if you're not willing to listen to conversations and listen to other people's sides, because I don't do everything right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I know that. I try to, right? I try to do make the safe decision, the smart decision, things like that. But at the end of the day, I want to hear what this person who's been flying for a lot longer than I have to say, right? And maybe they're totally wrong.
Doing something wrong for 30 years,
It's very, very possible. And
we frankly, see it all the time,
frankly,
right?
Likely, yes, right? When we see the people around here who have been flying for whatever, 20, 30, 40 years, and they've always done it this way, right? And that, by God, that's the way that we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, you know, no, like we're not. Like
welcome
I'm not
going to Johnson teach my County.
People. Right, exactly. You know, but it's anywhere. That's, it's not just here. It's anywhere, right? I mean,
what do you want?
You're about to say something about what I said.
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about how we were eating lunch the other day. It was yesterday. And someone was doing a circle to land off of an approach over here.
Yeah.
And someone was, instead of, you know how like you're supposed to step over to where the other runways downwind would be, right? You know what I'm talking about? So like if you're coming and you're doing circle to land, right? You're typically supposed to like get away from the airport, right? A little bit. Yeah, right? Yeah, that's the intention.
Yeah.
And typically you don't.
It's the what?
It's the intention.
The intention here is to get away from the runway.
And like you either want to do like one of two things. You either do like the that weird like 45 degree angle thing, or you step into what would be the other runway's downwind, but it is now your upwind technically. Do you see what I'm saying?
No.
Can you draw it for us? I'm not joking.
So
you
want like,
to get a piece of paper?
Here's your runway, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So like normally.
So let's say, okay, let's just like use, you're shooting your approach. Here's three.
Yeah, right? And you're going to do circle to land, right? Okay. So you're supposed to step over.
Yes.
Right? And then you go as if now you're in downwind of 2-1.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. Like,
okay.
So you're stepping over
yeah.
two.
Okay. I mean, that's what you do, right? I mean, you're.
Yeah. And this dude just straight up like, first off, went to the left. And he also was right up against the airport.
Right.
Like he was flying over the buildings.
And so like this is a thing, right? And you know, the FAA puts out advisory circulars, and I think they are very good for pilots to read. And I wish more would, because are they regulatory? No, they're advisory, right?
Yeah.
They're called advisory circulars. But there's one in particular, you know, advisory circular 966 Bravo. So it's operations at non-towered airports, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a great read for all you pilots out there. Like, read it. Learn it, love it. Like I preach it to my students because again, everything that's talked about in there, it's how to operate in an environment like this, right? And it's designed so that people are doing the same things, right? And it's designed so that we are communicating, right? How to communicate, who you are, where you are, what are your intentions, right? When to make these communications, and how to fly in traffic patterns. And so like perfect example today, you know, again, there's six people burning the pattern, right? And then just some guy's like, I'm straight in for three. I'm like, why, right? Why? And if we read the advisory circular, it talks about how we discourage straight in landings.
Yeah.
Especially when the pattern's full.
Right? Yeah.
Join the traffic pattern,
right?
Because now you're disrupting everything. Like I had to, you know, change my plan because he's coming in 5 mile final, we're midfield downwind, he's a lot faster than us, it's a bonanza, right? He's doing about 130 over the ground. By the time we turn final, we're gonna be doing like 95 over the ground, right? And so I'm like, okay, well, we're either gonna extend out 4 miles or we can practice power off 180, right? So we do power off 180.
Longest downwind ever.
Yeah, and that's what, like, I don't wanna do. I don't like doing that at low altitudes, right? Again, getting away from the airport at low altitude. So, you know, just little stuff like that. And that's why I'm so big on this, you know, reading that advisory circular and so passionate about it, because it keeps people alive. And so like to circle back, into the circling approach, right? It talks about how making left-hand traffic standard, mm-hmm. right? So sidestepping into the upwind is the dumbest thing that you can do yeah, if you're absolutely. An airplane, yeah. because why? Well, because helicopters do right traffic, mm-hmm. right? And because when you're turning base to final, right? Well, somebody over here is in the left downwind turning mm-hmm. base to final, and then you hit each other, yep. right? And so where do most midairs happen? Right here, right? Yeah. Base to final.
So Thomas, can you tell us about your most memorable flight as either a student or an instructor?
Yeah, this is so like cliche. They all kind of blend together. I think when you're a student, like you remember lots of different flights. I'll never forget my private check ride. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, as weird, not weird, but like as lame as that is. Like,
That's not lame. That's when you became a pilot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember because it was stressful.
Yeah. I remember, right? You remember the lead in, right? You remember that's the hardest one, I think, because you just don't know what you don't know mm-hmm. type mm-hmm. thing. And I can play back that entire flight like to a T mm-hmm. in my head, like everything that happened. You know, and honestly, I could probably do that for most of my check rides. Pretty much all my check rides. As a student, I think maybe as a memorable flight, probably just as a whole, just the cross countries and commercial. Mm-hmm. Like, we had a good time. There's a good chance to kind of like hit the reboot button, mm-hmm. Because it's such a grind through private and instrument.
Commercial is kind of like the relaxing, semi-relaxing.
The first half, yeah. Yeah. The first half. The second half is again, you're just back to the grindstone. But the mm-hmm. first half is like, all right, let's learn how to like talk to approach and talk right. to tower and,
It's almost like a refresher of private and instrument.
It is, yeah. Because you do both, right? I filed mm-hmm. a lot for my commercial flights and I still do now, like teaching a commercial. We still file quite a bit.
That's right, because you're in the commercial academy, right?
Yeah. So, I get the best of both worlds. I get to fly, when we're in stage two with my students, we're doing all maneuvers and things like that. But in stage one, we're doing a lot of instrument stuff as well. But a lot of like VFR and pilotage and all that kind of jazz. But probably just the collective whole of my commercial flights. We got to go to a lot of really cool places, visit a lot of really cool airports.
Did you get a first flight?
Not in commercial, no. I didn't go there until I was an instructor.
Oh, okay.
First flight. Aggressive.
And then every time he does it and we all look, he looks at us like, what? Look at his face. He's about to do it. Look at him. He's like, what?
Yeah.
So what about as an instructor?
Very good. As an instructor, it wasn't so... The one that like comes to mind... Honestly, this is terrible. So there's one flight. It was... with one of my current students, we were doing I don't remember. It was a cross country. We were at Kinston. We come down, clear to land. And as soon as we touch wheels, I see a coyote on the runway.
Like, this is what I thought he was going to say.
Right in front of us. Like, right in front of us. I've been lucky. Like, all my flights have been pretty uneventful. Mm-hmm. For the most part, there's minor things here and there, whatever. But, coyote and...
And wheels on ground at this point?
Like, had just touched.
Okay.
I mean, like, we're in the flare still.
For sure.
Right? So, mains of Dutch. I mean, I have never hit the rudder so hard in my life. Like, I mean, I promise you, and maybe not, right, because you're in the moment, but I would say less than 5 feet from chopping up a coyote on the runway.
Have you seen that video? The video of the deer that ran in front of that plane? This is recent.
But, like,
it just disintegrates it. Yeah. Like it just, it's like a blender. It just right. gone.
Yeah. And that's what we were at. So I just call tower. Like we're just, right. We're cleared for the option. Mm-hmm. Right. So thankfully.
Thanks for the option.
Yeah. And, I stomp on the rudder and, we get to the right, just miss it. And we're going, I'm just like, tower, 240 Bravo Lima. I just want to let you know there's a dog or something on the runway. something, I don't know, right? And he's like, oh yeah, center of the runway or so, midfield. I was like, yep, that's it. He goes, okay.
Yeah, that's Bob. He's like, yeah, that's Bob. No worries.
So that was probably the most, like, that's the one that comes to mind, I guess. I mean, again, I've gotten to go to a lot of really cool places. you know, in commercial, get the chance to go to Pittsburgh a few times, you know, Savannah, Georgia. We go all over the place. Knoxville, Tennessee, Roanoke, Virginia, Richmond, Virginia. Those are a couple of my favorite places. Going to First Flight's always cool. You know, every student always wants to go to First Flight. So I've been lucky to be able to go there, you know, four or
What's
five
so
times.
Significant about First Flight?
Never heard of it.
Wait, do you not know, or are you just, okay. You're just, I was just going to say, for our followers that don't know.
Yeah. But there was a
yeah,
cool
actually,
way.
Go and explain that.
Yeah, I was joking, but I also did want you to explain it.
Yeah, thirsty, like, if you're explaining to people what First Flight is and why it's a big deal for pilots.
Yeah, so obviously, like, great, well, maybe you don't know about the Wright brothers. So just the introduction to flight, right, at First Flight out in the Outer Banks, North Carolina. So there's a big monument there, that sort of thing.
I have a hot subject thing. Go ahead and do it. I'll ask you in a minute.
You know, I think most people who come in and do this training are like aviation nerds. I remember saying that a lot when I was a training advisor, when we'd have meetings. You know, so I'm not one of those, not an aviation nerd. Right? I'm passionate about it now.
And, I think you are now.
But
you are.
I don't care about the history.
You are.
I really don't. Like, I don't know about airplanes. I know what Diamond 40s are and some Cessnas and things like that. Like, I know about airplanes, right?
Gotcha.
So, like, I didn't go during my training. Like, I didn't care. I went to the mountains, right? I went to GEV, you know, and landed on the mountaintop there. And that was cool. So the first time I go is, you know, as an instructor, I think with my student Ahmed, and he was my first student. He really wanted to go to First Flight. And like, we touched down and I'm like, cool. Yeah. I'm like, cool. And every student, when you go there, like, oh my gosh, like, this is the greatest thing ever, isn't it? I'm like, yeah, we got to go. Like, we got to get back. So, you know, like, I feel bad but it's cool. You know, like, everybody gets really giddy about it and stuff like that. I just took Daniel there the other day and like, he was like a kid in a candy store.
I get it because you're like, I'm looking at a runway. But if you really think about what it represents,
the significance is
like, you flew here and it wouldn't be possible. If they wouldn't have done this.
Yeah, but somebody else would have done it.
right, and it would have been in a different airport, but this is one.
This is it, right? Yeah, and it is. It's cool.
I like this because people are going to be in the comments on this one. Yeah.
People are
going to
be like, this guy's saying...
Blasphemous.
And just remember, they're from Ohio.
So, too, and that's the thing. That's the hot button subject because Ohio is pushing harder that they're technically first in flight. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know...
Because, I mean, I think the general idea of it, actually, I need to look that up.
So, and I don't know. Yeah, like, I don't know. Did they do a lot of their testing in Ohio? I don't know. The place that it happened was here, right? I mean, that's the reality of the situation.
And also, like, why did they come here? You know, like, if they're from Ohio and they did testing in Ohio, why did they come to North Carolina on the Outer Banks to do their first flight?
Oh, they created the plane in Ohio.
Okay.
Okay, but still, that's not the first flight. Right. Like, you're the first in you're the first in production.
No, I mean, I would agree. Like, right here, this is where it happened.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory in my mind.
It's just kind of weird.
I school there from Ohio, though.
Did you land and take off in the direction of the beach or away? I don't know how to properly ask that.
Yeah. Well, the runway kind of runs... If you're landing three, you're kind of going into the water, right?
Yeah. Did you land the other way or take off that direction?
The first time I went there, we landed 2-1. So we're landing more into
the land.
Land, if you will. But, I mean, you're like, first of all, it's on an island almost, right? There's water in both. But I know you're saying like ocean, right?
I'm mostly bringing it up because of the power lines.
Yeah, so the first time I went, right, I did 2-1, and I did not let my student land.
It's trippy how close those power lines are to the runway.
It's the first time you do it, it's very uncomfortable. because unless you want to land halfway down the runway, like, you have to skim the power lines and the trees. So it's pretty sketchy. The first time, if you go there on a pretty gnarly day, it's very difficult and challenging, you know, to have a decent landing that isn't hard on the airplane and hard on your back.
And a lot of days are gnarly there because it's literally on the ocean.
Yeah, on the water.
Yeah, that's why they chose that spot because there's so much wind.
You have a lot of wind every day.
Well, right? In that sense, then Ohio was first in flight.
True. So much
wind. The only reason they came here is because we had the better winds.
Yeah, but they didn't fly there.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. Lots of wind. I literally don't care. We're flying now, so. Yeah. All right, Thomas, let's go ahead and roll out the red carpet for you. Why don't you tell our followers where they can reach you if they have any questions and say anything you'd like for them to know?
social, right? Just pretty much Instagram, just my first name underscore last name.
So what is
Thomas
that?
Thomas underscore Schmeltz.
Okay.
S-C-H-M-E-L-T-Z.
S-C-H-M-E-L-T-Z.
Yeah, the graphic will be there.
We will, but some people listen to on Spotify like me.
Good point. T-H-O-M-A-S underscore S-C-H-M-E-L-T-Z.
Now, can you please do that phonetically?
Yeah. Yeah, put me on the spot. Yeah, so like whatever. Yeah, anybody, you know, plenty of people reach out there as far as like questions and stuff like that. I'm not popular at all. I post rarely. But you know, whatever. If you want to see some cool airplanes and photos from what we do on the daily, it's kind of there. And yeah, I mean, I'm not really a
promotional. Do you have any final words, something, a piece of advice you would tell prospective students that are coming in?
Words of wisdom.
Someone that has all this experience of not only being a training advisor and marketing, but training advisor and went to the program and now you're an instructor. You have a lot of insight. So what do you think you would tell them?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is like you just got to buckle in, you know. This is very much something that you have to dedicate all your time to. You know, so preparedness is the one thing that I always talked about with everybody. You know, getting as much done as you can, learning as much as you can before you get here. That way, you know, when you do arrive and you start the training, like we already talked about earlier, it's, I can recall that I've heard of this or that or the other thing. And now we just got to kind of learn the intricacies of it, if you will. So be prepared as well as you can. And that starts with King Schools and written exams, you know, if you're coming here. But anywhere, like I encourage people to get their writtens done. And then once you're here, surround yourself with good people. You know, I think that was one of the best things that I did once I got here was my starting class was very tight knit. And we were here every day studying together at 8 o'clock in the morning. No matter if we didn't fly until, you know, noon, 2, 4, 6 o'clock in the evening, whatever, we were all here studying together, trickling in and out all day. And then on the weekends, we'd go to a coffee shop and study together too, right? And we all did very well in the program, right? Very few of us failed check rides. Maybe one here or there for some people, but the most of us went all the way through without failing a check ride. And I think a lot of that goes into just the dedication and effort that we put in, you know, from the beginning of our time here. And that continued all the way through, you know, the program and through all the ratings. And I think it continues now. So if you can find a good group of people who are like-minded, willing to work as hard as you are, that goes a long way in terms of your success. Because I very much believe that you determine your success here. You know, if you want to do well, you will do well. Right? If you want it bad enough, you will do. You will put in the time that it takes to be successful. And in my mind, like the whole thing that I, you know, cheesy, but like every time I had a check ride coming up, failure is not an option. Right? Failure is not an option. So, you know, do everything you can to prepare yourself mentally. Soak in every single flight and learn from every single flight. You know, you learn every day, and I learn every day still. That never ends. So I'm very much, I tell all my students, I'm a firm believer, you can't be a good pilot unless your knowledge is good, unless you're good on the ground, right? You can be skilled, right? You can be skilled in the airplane, but you can't be a good pilot unless your knowledge is good, right? And that starts with a willingness to be here and study every day, soak in as much knowledge as you can.
I want to share a fun fact because I haven't had an Ashley fun fact and you haven't had a Andy...
Analytical moment.
But I'm a little OCD for our followers who are just becoming obsessed with me. That's something fun to know. and so Thomas, every time he would pass a check ride... we started it on his private. It was just like a spur of the moment thing. He passed his private check ride and I asked the instructor who was doing his standby, hey, as soon as he passes, text me. I want to be the first person to tell him congratulations. So who did your private standby? I don't even remember.
Scotto.
Yeah. So Christian Scotto was there. He texts me, hey, he passed. I'm like, congratulations. And he's like, his first time, he's like, how did you even know?
I just got out of the plane.
Right, like literally, how did you even know?
Literally.
So then after that, I was like, hey, you want to get, we both love sushi. I'm like, you want to get sushi to celebrate tonight? He's like, sure. So the next time he goes to his instrument check ride, and I don't remember whose standby was that time.
Tatiana.
I was like, Tatiana, listen, I know this is weird, but before you post it to the staff that he passed, message me and let me know he passed so I can be the first person to congratulate him. So again, he's like, how do you do that? So then that night we got sushi. So the trend just kept happening. I kept messaging his standby every time. Hey, let me know so that I can text him. So then of course he got used to it. And then
added to the pressure too. It's the worst. Like by the time the EFI rolls around, I'm like, oh my God.
And then on one of them, I really did become OCD. It was, I think it was your MEI check ride. We didn't get sushi on your CFII check ride.
Yeah.
I was legit worried something was going to happen because we didn't follow
the pattern.
But we didn't have sushi. I'm
superstitious.
Yeah. He was like, don't say that. But we didn't have it and you still passed. And then we had double sushi to celebrate. Thomas, thank you so much for coming on our podcast today. I hope you listened to this episode.
Yeah.
It will mean so much to me, but also you should probably listen to the other ones too.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun chatting with you. You know, it's always fun to hear. To go down memory lane.
Yeah.
And talk about.
I think that's the most fun.
You know, the year since 2019 and where you started and where you are today, especially for you, because you've had so many different, you've done so many things in this company.
Right.
So I really love your story and I'm just glad you got to share it.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity to chat. And again, I love talking about this stuff, right? I like talking about the old days and we were just talking about it the other day. Mm-hmm. You know, just how different the place is now. Yeah. And it's cool to see. So I'm excited to see where things go down the road too.
Also, one last question for our listeners. No thoughts, only one word, okay? Or sorry, one answer.
Yeah.
Team Ohio or Team North Carolina?
Ohio.
What team? What do you mean?
Just in general, Team Ohio, Team North Carolina. He said Ohio. Ohio, so, Ohio.
Well, so it was nice having you on the podcast.
But you still believe that first flight happened in North Carolina, even though you're Team Ohio.
Yeah,
okay, 100%, just to clarify.
100%. Yeah, yeah.
But your Team Ohio.
Always home.
All right, go ahead and head out.
Goodbye. Okay, make sure to follow us and like us on whatever platform that you're watching or listening to us on. We always post a video on Facebook and YouTube, but you can also listen to us on any major platform like Apple Music or Google Podcasts.
Even Spotify.
And Spotify. Remember to check out the description because we'll sometimes put updates in there or any corrections if we said anything wrong, which we're never wrong.
Never.
But also I got notes in there, any notes or links that we may have talked about. That being said, let's wrap up this podcast.
Let's do it.
David, leave all that in there.